Our fifth presentation is entitled Using National Public Health Competency Sets to Build Continuing Education Programs for the Public Health Workforce, the North Carolina Institute for Public Health Approach. Our presenter is Dr. Rachel Wilfert. She is a research associate for training and education with the North Carolina Center for Public Health Preparedness at the University of North Carolina Gillings School of Global Public Health. Dr. Wilfert is responsible for helping plan, implement, coordinate, and evaluate the center's training and educational programs. She also works closely with the center's local public health agency partners in North Carolina and other states to assess local training needs and to develop tailored educational programs and materials.
Well, I have no financial relationships to disclose. Thank you. Let me know if I tend to speak softly, so start waving your hands in the back there if I start to go down there. So just to give you an overview of what I'm going to talk about today, I'd like to give you just a little bit of background about the North Carolina Institute for Public Health and tell you about some of the guiding principles we use across our programs to develop competency-based training programs, and then show you how those programs play out within our many different programs. And just to let you know, the Institute is a little bit different from some of the programs you've heard about here earlier in this session. We serve as the service and outreach arm for the School of Public Health at the University of North Carolina. We have a variety of programs that come under the Institute's umbrellas. Some of these are fairly new programs. Others, like the Office of Continuing Education, have been around since the 1930s. The Institute has a focus in three main areas: research, technical assistance, and training and workforce development, and that's the aspect of the Institute I'm going to focus on today. The programs that we have serve practicing public health professionals in a wide variety of agencies. We have programs for local health departments, state, national, for North Carolina, but also regionally, and some are national, and in fact some are international as well, depending on the project funding and focus. We get projects through grants from federal agencies. We have contracts with state health departments and also with local health departments. These programs may be offered on a one-time basis, depending on the needs of the partners, or they may be long-standing initiatives that go over multiple years. So it's sort of a grab bag. A lot of the things I was listening to earlier were very coherent programs, academic level, or one established curriculum. So that is not this. So just be prepared as I go through. We have a variety of things, and so our approach varies a little bit depending on what the program is. So just to give you an idea of the programs housed under the Institute of Umbrella, this is a lovely little word cloud with a lot of very long and probably small words here, but it describes some of our current and also our past programs. I'll get into some detail about some of these later on in the program. This presentation really came out of an effort at the Institute, a strategic visioning process. A lot of our programs are really organized around either funding streams or around topic areas, and we've been doing some work internally trying to think about how we can be more cohesive as an organization. And as we started discussing all of our various programs, it really became obvious that even though we have in some ways been operating very separately within our Institute umbrella, we have a lot of commonalities that we share. And so we've spent some time identifying those and talking about what those are. So we have three really guiding principles for all of our education programs, no matter which part of the Institute they come out of. It is to start with assessment. We usually use competency-based assessments to identify priority training needs for our target audience. develop and deliver competency-based training, always with partner participation and buy-in, and then close out the cycle by evaluating and improving the program. So, as I said, assessments are used to determine priority training areas. We base these assessments on established national competency sets in a variety of different areas, whether it's core public health competencies, applied epidemiology competencies, leadership, maternal child health. The assessments are carried out. They're used to guide development of subsequent training content. And they also give a baseline for post-training evaluation. And as you can imagine with the grab bag of programs that we have, sometimes the assessments are carried out with one particular health department. Sometimes they are carried out statewide. Sometimes they're carried out on a national level. It just depends on the originating project. So when we do these assessments, we may use existing assessment instruments that are already in place. The Council on Linkages core public health competency set has an instrument, as does the applied epidemiology competencies developed by CDC and CSTE. We almost never use them out of the box. They almost always get tweaked and customized in some way for the target audience at hand. And we often drill down deeper into the competency sets to get at specific skill sets because depending on the competencies, they may be too broad to guide development of training programs. Trainings, this is sort of a list of our key principles for developing training, and I won't go through all of these in detail, but linking the training itself back to the competencies is important. Having measurable learning objectives that you're developing content around, and that you are addressing the appropriate cognitive learning level of your target audience. And finally, and this one is perhaps the most important, is that you can't develop trainings for somebody just based on assessed training need. Context is everything. And unless you know how the trainings are going to be delivered in the context in which they're going to be received, it may fall totally flat. And so partnering either with a representative from the target audience or somebody who knows that target audience is very important. Finally, evaluation. We do some level of evaluation for all of our programs. It may vary depending on the funding partner's desire for evaluation, how deep it goes, but we have strategies in place to evaluate both brief trainings all the way up through year-long programs. Most of our programs use the Kirkpatrick model for evaluating trainings, and you all are probably familiar with this in some degree. It has four levels. It measures participants' reaction. That's usually a satisfaction measure. To what level did a training improve participants' knowledge and skills? How did they alter their behavior after the training? And what organizational benefits resulted? So that would be the highest level of impact. So now let me just tell you about how these principles are applied in some of our programs. So we have a training website. It comes out of our Preparedness Center, which is sponsored by a CDC-funded program. There's a Preparedness and Emergency Response Learning Center. We're one of 14 such centers across the country. This website hosts short online trainings. It serves over 59,000